Ray Tiger Radio. Hot Cinders.
Welcome, 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 my fellow Charlestonian citizens of the Lowcountry, those who serve in uniform to protect the red, white, and blue, and those who serve in local uniform, sworn to protect the innocent citizens of the Lowcountry. And then there's me! This is Radio Free Rocky D, the Big Talker! That's how far we've come in 70 years. On 1250 WTMA, you, my friends, may in fact be politically incorrect. All you gotta do, stand up in front of a crowd, and you tell the truth out loud, and you tell the truth out loud, that makes you politically incorrect as well. And you'll be surrounded immediately by the PC thought police saying, how can anything exist before Obama got here? New, what? I don't get it. Call Rocky D, 843-556-1250, 843-556-1250. You can email me at rockyd@wtma.com, or you can instant message me at rockyd1250. I can't imagine doing this show, Donna, doing talk radio at all.
If Neil Bortz hadn't invented talking to your producer?
Yeah, that. Without computers. And by the way, Neil Bortz has all the stuff we do. And Glenn Black and Bill O'Reilly and Sean Wynity.
Right.
And Douche Limbo. They get all the same stuff we do, but they have staffs of 8 or 10.
Oh, yeah.
And me and Donna do it out on all that stuff. Just she and I, that's it. That's all.
Plus our 27 other jobs.
And our show prep usually consists of she and I touch base at 8:30 in the morning. What do you got for today? Nothing. What do you got for today? I don't know. See you there. I'm up at 7:30 in the morning doing this.
You're up at 7:30 in the morning. I'm still slung up in the bed.
Today I got up at 7:30 in the morning and said, oh, yeah, it's reunion show day. Come back to bed.
I watched a little bit of it on Comcast C2.
So, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, by the way, the people who came in for the reunion show, especially you television people like Bill Sharp, do you live in a barn? Can't you throw your stuff away? I'm not cleaning up after you anymore. Bill. TV people, they're prissy. They're going to leave their, I don't touch empty cups. On the horn with us right now, one of the original guys, I'm not kidding you, from the old Tiger Radio days, I believe, Jack Gale. Hey, Jack.
Hey, Rocky, it was before Tiger Radio. Tiger Radio came after me. I think I left there in 57, 55 to 57, sounds right to me.
You were here before Donna and I were born.
Oh, please. My social security number is 3. That's how far back I go.
You still do voiceovers, don't you?
Yeah, I do commercials nationwide from a studio at home.
Yeah, there's a lot less of those people than there used to be because what happened? I worked with at NBC with Pete Stacker, and he's the guy who does those Bud Dry. He's an imitation of Mason Adams.
Well, our problem now is most of the commercials that we get are car dealers, and they are more or less down in the tank, so it's pretty tough.
Yeah, well, let me tell you, where were you guys broadcasting from in 1955?
The Dock Street Theater on Church Street.
Now, you were actually next to the theater, were you not?
No. Oh, yeah, well, I guess next to the theater. We were on, like, the third floor.
You guys had to keep the studio, you had to keep the sound down because they were rehearsing and doing plays next door, weren't they?
Certain days we did, yeah, certain days we did, but our studios were on the third floor. Offices were on the, I guess, right on the second floor, I don't recall, but I know it was the Dock Street Theater, because one day the temperature was about 85 degrees, and I opened the door to the window to the studio on the third floor and was looking out the window in my shirt sleeves, and some fella down on the first floor was taking pictures, and he took a picture, and I waved, mm-hmm. And about 3 months later, I was in a drugstore, and I see postcards. from Wish You Were Here type postcards, and I looked at it, and here's the Dock Street Theater, and I said, man, the Dock Street Theater, and I picked up one of the cards, and there I am waving out the window. National exposure.
Hey, there you go. You're a tourist souvenir.
Right, but that was a long, long time ago.
Where did you find a park down there? Because then you could park then back then, huh?
I don't even remember. I don't remember. I guess you could park down there. I don't know.
Did you walk to work?
No, I lived over west of the Ashley. Does that sound right?
Yeah, I live there now.
The Ashley, and I never will forget it. One of the boats, I guess this was 1956, a boat hit the bridge and damaged the bridge or knocked it down, and we couldn't get across. And there was a fellow with a rowboat that met me every morning at 5 o'clock for 50 cents and rowed me across. And somebody met me on the other side and going home the same way.
Sounds like something out of a war between the states.
It was either that or else, from what I remember, we had to drive clean around through Somerville or something. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but my memory's a little foggy, you know.
Yeah, well, that's all right. That's all right. Now, you worked there for 2 years. I mean, who did you work with?
Oh, well, Chuck Smith was the boss. And I worked with Bill Walton. Bob Truitt was doing the news. And we had a fellow named Dick Drury. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to remember who else. Buddy Charles, whose name was Buddy Gassett.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a record store on King Street opposite Fox Music called the Hound Dog Record Store. And we had such great times there because I rented the Folly Beach Pier. Is that still there?
I blew away and then built a new one.
Oh, because we rented the Folly Beach Pier for a year, and we booked all kind of acts at the Folly Beach Pier on Saturday and Friday, Saturday and Sunday.
Wow. Well, you remember Hugo when it hit up here?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So went the pier.
Yeah.
But
well,
they built a new one. It's bigger and better and badder and wilder. But it's still not the old. It's higher in the air, so the air can go underneath it. You know.
Well, I'll tell you how long ago that was because I remember July 4th weekend we booked Connie Francis and Pat Boone, and they were like the hottest things in the world at that time.
Connie Francis and Pat Boone. Hey, you know
Connie
what?
Francis and Pat Boone.
There's some rocking for you. I bet that was his head banging all day.
Yeah, well, and of course the best show we ever had was Fats Domino.
That would have been fun to see that.
Hanging from the rafters, and in between shows he washed his teeth and gargled with beer. True story.
He brushed his teeth with beer?
Gargled with beer and drove up with his manager in a Cadillac, a green Cadillac with dominoes on the side doors, you know, painted on the side doors.
See, Don, I told you. You tell me brushing my teeth with beer is wrong. Fat man did it.
They were great times. Great, great times. You know?
Oh, man. All right. Some big names came by besides that, too. Did you ever get big political names on your show?
No.
Because you did mostly music.
Oh, yeah, we did not. You do talk now, don't you?
Yeah, we're all talk. We've been talk for 20 years, yeah.
Yeah, we were all music, less talk. we were all music. But, of course, what we played was a lot different than what you guys are playing. We played Johnny Mathis and Andy Williams, you know, and Goofy Grant,
Page. And at the time when you were doing it, you had control over what was over the air.
Absolutely.
Because that was back in the day when, the boss jock day is the beginning of it, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, well, we didn't have any of that. Tiger Radio with George Wilson came after me. But we played what we wanted to play, but it was all the pop stuff. Vic Damone and, you know, Perry Como, and that's what was playing. It was before rock and roll. Rock and roll had just really started because I did a show called The Hound Dog on Saturday night, and we played a whole lot of R&B stuff at that time, but not during the day.
Hey, what did the job pay back then?
You know, I don't remember.
Like $100 a week or something?
I have no idea what it was. I mean, I guess I was management. I made a little bit more, but I remember Dick Drury had taken an audition at another station, and it was my first job as PD, and I was feeling my oats, and somebody told me that he had taken a job at, or had applied for a job at another station. Mm-hmm. And I called him in, and I fired him. And I went down to Chuck Smith, and I said, I said, I'm PD, so I can fire anybody, right? He said, that's right. I said, well, I just fired Dick Drury because he took an audition at one of the other stations. And Chuck said to me, okay, who's going to do afternoon drive? And I said, I don't know. I said, we'll put Bill Walton in. He said, no, we can't do that because Bill Walton works 40 hours, and he would have to get time and a half. So you're management. You don't do that, so you'll have to do afternoon drive.
Time and a half then was probably $3 an hour.
I said, I'm doing morning drive. He says, well, next time, he says, you have to learn to fire somebody at your convenience, not on emotion. So I hired the first guy that sent me a tape.
Who was that? Do you remember?
Yeah, sure I do. It was Steve Carroll. We became very friendly, and we're still friendly today. He lives about 20 miles from me.
Right now he does?
Yeah. He lives in Boynton Beach, and I live in Palm City.
Palm City. It's nice down there.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful down here.
Yeah, but you don't want to be trying to cross the road the early evening with all the oldsters coming down the street. You know what I mean?
Hey, I'm one of those. What are you talking about, man?
Well, don't run me down, man.
Nothing here but doctors, you know.
Oh, yeah. It's a nice retirement area. In fact, we have some of that around here to this day, as you well know.
Yeah, but no sense retiring. Retire from what? You know, I don't do anything. Just voiceover.
Yeah.
Don't do anything.
My dad retired after 40-something years, 45 years in the car business, spent 2 months fishing, and then became a woodworker. I mean, you sit around and do nothing. You end up turning into dust. Well, it was nice to talk to you again, Jack.
Great talking to you, Rocky. And, hey. Just say hello to everybody in Charleston for me. Everybody you meet on the street, just say Jack Hill says hello.
Okay. Hey, if you ever get up here, come on in someday, man.
I sure will. Thanks.
Thanks, Jack.
Bye-bye.
Wow, from 1955? I wasn't even born then. Is that Sonia? Tell her we'll get it on. We'll get it on 5 minutes here. 4 minutes, all right? 1250, the Big Talker, WTMA.
Hi, this is Jim Bohannon. Join me for 3 hours of stimulating talk tonight, starting at 10 on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA.
Now, here's more radio-free Rocky D on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA.
Hey, we're 70 years old today, man. And guess what, Donna? It's all about me.
Is it?
Yeah. I've decided to take this whole 70th birthday for WTMA, take control of it, and make it all about me. It's never been done before.
Never. How about every day?
Here's my original producer after the first guy lasted 2 days and said, I hate this other guy. Hey, and then they stuck her in there and she said, my God, what's wrong with this boy? Kim Basso. Hey, Kim, baby.
It's been a long time since I've been called that.
Kim, baby. Well, you need to be called that more often. I looked up your radio station in Florence. Did you guys go out of business? What happened?
What do you mean?
It's not on there. Eagle 92.9 is gone.
Oh, no. We're fixing our website. So I still do the morning show there, but I'm the PD of our news talk up here now. Can you believe that?
Hey, you need to put the Rocky D show on up there. We'll give it to you. we'll split it. You know, we need to get your phone number where we can reach you because I even typed in the call letters of the station in Dillon, South Carolina, and all that kind of stuff, and it came up zero.
Well, we're in Florence, South Carolina.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'll get you the numbers, no problem. It's Eagle, 92.9. We got a big stick. We're down in from Myrtle Beach all the way up to Fayetteville. So
cool, man. I'll tell you what. Email me your current numbers where I can get a hold of you at Rocky D. You know the address. Rocky D. I'm telling her like she doesn't know. Rocky D at WTMA.com.
Well, a lot has changed. You know, I just checked out the website, the new website, and you guys are the Big Talker now, which it didn't used to be the Big Talker.
Well, you know why. You used to work here. Donna doesn't know that about working in the old building. Tell Donna about you and I working in that old building for about a month.
Oh, my goodness. Well, do you remember when the spider fell in front of me?
Yep, we talked about that. Big, gigantic spider came crawling down.
Did you scream like a girl?
Oh, yeah, I screamed. And I threw my hand up and knocked over a microphone stand, and it was a mess. Yeah, it was bad news in that building. They had raccoon infestations.
Under the floor. It was raccoon. Mm-hmm. It was muskrat love under the floor.
Snakes were in there. I still miss that building, though. I miss it.
Well, if you want to go see where it used to be, just go down the end of the road. God took it back.
Oh, really?
It's completely gone.
Wow.
Hey, it was falling apart with me and you were standing there. Remember one day we were on the air and a big old hunk of the ceiling fell down in front of you?
Yeah.
Wham! And I'm like, Kim, you all right?
And a light fell. I mean, there was some crazy stuff that happened in that building, yeah.
Well, you know, the thing is that when I got in there, I got volume. And my voice began to shake that building. They used to complain because we actually had another radio station. Did we have one other radio station in the building or two? I can't remember.
The country station was there and the top 40 was there.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's excellent. They would come down and say, can you keep it down? Keep it down! I'm Rocky Day!
Well, you're calling it a building. It was more of like a trailer, like kind of a, it was a modular.
It was kind of a cross between a double wide and that crazy lady Winchester's house.
Oh, see, you see how politically correct I am now?
What?
Like I called it a modular building instead of a trailer.
Yeah, you've gone back to music radio where you have to be nice to people, isn't that it?
Yeah, I forgot. I'm like, you know what? I could just call it a trailer. Yeah. It's a Rocky show.
I know. We had a whole bunch of fun on the show. And then, you know, since you've left, things have changed dramatically. You know, you were in this building for a while. We had a good, you're still in some of the old photos. If you take a look through some of the big shots on my big shots page at RockyD.com.
Uh-huh.
You take a look through there, you can still see you in a couple of those pictures in the background.
Oh, well, I need to do that, reminisce. Well, let me tell you something. When I got the call from John Quincy, I was like, wow, that's a blast from the past. And then he says, well, call Rocky. He's on the air. And I said, what? And he goes, oh, yeah, he's on middays now.
Yeah, my big thing now. Yeah, I'm on against Douche Limbo. No problem. You guys run Douche Limbo?
You guys run Douche Limbo? We do. We run Limbaugh, and I have to say, don't you feel like he's getting crankier in his old age?
I don't. I think he's about done.
He can't hear that well, and he kind of yells at the call, like he yells at his producer, and he yells at the callers, and.
Well,
I mean, of course, he's great. He's
a standard, but well, Mike. Remember Mike Noble?
Yeah,
Mike. Yeah, he was the first program director that when I came up here. He and I were standing in that old gravel parking lot outside the double wide. And you know, he said, Limbaugh's going deaf. You think you can make something out of this? And I looked at him because Mike played some football. He was kind of a stocky guy.
Right.
I played a lot of hockey, as you know. You even came to the rink a couple times, I think.
Yeah, sure.
And then we looked at each other and we went, "He's going deaf." And we both said it at the same time, painkillers. Anybody who plays sports, yes, anybody. Well, we didn't know what OxyContin was. Right. But anybody in sports knows if you take too many painkillers, it'll affect your sight and your hearing.
What's that?
If it'll affect your hearing if you take too many painkillers.
Huh?
Huh? You guys had the good stuff up there. So you're doing it. So,
yeah,
so now,
that well.
So now you're doing the morning show, and you're the PD of the talk monster up there. Hey, you know what?
Yeah, well, I do the morning show on the music station, on the country station.
Yeah,
and then you know, I get off at 9 a.m. doing that, and so then I spend the rest of the afternoon doing PD work, and then I'm done. I'm already off work. I'm on the couch right now.
There you go. Good. Is there a therapist nearby?
Yeah. You'd think I'd need one, right?
Yeah, after all this time. Let me,
it's so good to hear your voice, though. So good to hear your voice.
Oh, I'm still the same. I'm still loud, rowdy, and Donna has to tell me to shut up once in a while.
Well, so is it a celebration, WTMA Day, down there?
Yeah.
70 years is a lot to celebrate.
Yeah, in fact, we're the only signal in the state that's kept our call letters that long. Is that right, Donna? Yeah.
Yes.
Because there was one on earlier before us, WCS or something like that, but they changed later on.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a lot to be said for that because I mean, you know, some stations they flip at the drop of a hat, you know.
Well, they do. We just keep here plugging along, and of course, as long as I'm here, it'll always have volume.
Well, it's something to celebrate. You guys need to get a cake. It's not a celebration without a cake.
We like how you think.
And speaking of that, I got to tell you, Saturday we're having a 70th birthday party at Blackbaud Stadium at the Three Lions Club. You know where that is. Remember the time that me and you stand down there at the corner and watch the soccer game? And I said to Kim, I said, man, this is kind of nice. Kim goes, yeah, I only come here for the guys in the shorts.
And the beer. Remember?
And the beer. And the beer.
To that bar. Well, I don't remember the name of the bar, but it was a really nice bar.
Three Lions Club. That's where we're going to be.
So, well, it's really nice.
What are you doing on Saturday, baby?
You want me to drive down there?
Yes, I do. You come on down from noon to 2. From noon to 2, we're going to have a big old birthday party, and you should be there.
Yeah, because it's all about Rocky.
Yeah, and we've never had a picture of me, you, and Donna taken before. Well, you're one of the few people that left here recently within the last 10 years who I can talk to who isn't disgruntled.
That's what John Quincy said. He goes, you're the only one that didn't get fired, so we thought we might could talk.
I remember when you first went up to that little. Yeah, I remember when you first went up to Dylan or whatever it was. You called me up. I remember you called me at home and said, "My God, the station is tiny. I don't know if I can do this. Should I do this, Rocky?" I said, "That's the way. You'll get used to it. It'll become home to you.
It is. It's a different place, but you know, I feel like I've settled in now. So.
There you go. All right. Well, can you come down? Let me know if you can come down. Send me an email because we'll get you in. You can only get in by invite because everybody wants to go.
Uh-huh.
And it's okay. Here you go. Ready for this? Free food and drinks. That's all.
No
you
No wonder.
Uh-huh. Hey, you're a radio chick, so I know you'll be there. Remember all the news people we had? I can't get any of them on because they're all disgruntled.
Well, what happened with, do you still have a news team?
A what?
And reporters and stuff there?
A team of one.
We got a team of Parker Brown.
And Fred in the morning.
Yeah, Michael Parker Brown. We got Fred. Everything's been condensed because everything's done with computers now.
Oh,
and
wow.
You want to know that from your talk station. Do you have any live people on your talk station at all?
We do not. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well.
It's all off the board.
Hey, consider piping in Rocky D. We could use that market up there. We could split the money. Bet we can make a bunch.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind. I brought that up in my last meeting. Well, you know, I know this guy.
Uh-huh.
His name's Rocky D.
So. And Mudflap. Is Mudflap still there?
He's still there, yep. Still there doing the mornings with me. And he's the PD of the country station.
So
and
you guys
also operations.
So you guys have taken it over.
Oh well,
all right.
It's a job of attrition, you know. So many people got laid off of radio. So.
Yeah, well, they'll be back. It's going to be all right. You know, pretty soon Obama will take a nap and we'll all come back.
I knew this conversation wouldn't go before you said something derogatory about the president.
Oh, I can. Yeah, he's a pencil neck geek. I don't know what he's doing. Hang on, Kim. Hang on. I'll talk to you off the air here. Derogatory about Obama? The fact that he's pencil neck geek? Not derogatory. It's what he is.
This is 1250 WTMA, serving Charleston and the Lowcountry since 1939.
WTMA, Charleston.
Smoke, smoke, smoke that cigarette.
Tell you what, one of the things we did at WTMA recently that made history was we shut down the secondhand smoke debacle. Remember that? We shut that down in 2002 and 2003, and it took them another five years or so to get it pushed through. They finally did it by lying. Yeah, they did it. But back in the day when who was the first guy to crack the microphone after they went all tuck? Worth Waring is one of the guys. Hey, Worth, were you the guy or what?
No, I at that moment, I was overnight news editor, Rocky. I was the guy that put words in people's mouths. There was a rule that we made up from the beginning that we would not do any ripping and reading except for feature stuff. Mm-hmm. Everything had to be original. And so I would get there at midnight and type until 6 as fast as I could.
Yeah, so you guys were there. Were you in the building when Hugo came ripping through?
Yes, I was. Yes, I was. Or actually, I was not in the building. We were all evacuated, but Dan Moon and I got, I guess it took, 12 hours or so on the morning after for people to cut the fallen trees off of Orange Grove Road. But as soon as we could get down there, there was a substantial generator. So we had electricity and air conditioning in the whole nine yards.
Now, well, you had air conditioning. Today, we don't. We blew up our air conditioning.
I heard that.
It's like 90 degrees in here.
People complained about Orange Grove Road with the fiddler crabs roaming the floors, but they ate the cockroaches, so there wasn't...
there's always a positive side to that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we were in there. But yeah, Kim never forgets the day that spider the size of my hand came in, and it was like hanging in the air.
Well, you and I and Kim, we all worked there at the same time, but not at the same time, because I was the Dracula of the bunch. I had to be out of there before sunrise or something horrible.
Yeah, I don't think I ever... Did I ever see you?
Once
or twice.
I think, at one of the mass firings.
Yeah.
But
are you disgruntled? I'm having a problem reaching people, man.
Disgruntled. I couldn't get more gruntled if I tried. But I've got to tell you one story about a change in format. And this is one of the classics. Just before we went talk, we'd been in there for a couple of nights doing dry runs, practice runs. And at the time, the format was still country and western, as they called it then, and it changed at 0600 on the 1st of June 1989. The country music played it right up till 5:59. We brought in the CBS Network News, and then Dorothy Conflenti and Dave Parker went on the air with the news, and I was sitting there breathing a huge sigh of relief, because you can imagine what it's like the first morning.
Yeah.
And the phone rang. Mm-hmm. And it was a very sweet little old lady wanting to request a particular tune. And I said, "I'm sorry, ma'am, but as of now, we're doing news." And she says, "But, I mean, after the news is over." And I told her, "Ma'am, the news is never going to end."
By the way, that lady still calls her every day.
Yeah. What tumbling tumbleweeds, I believe.
Oh, my God. Yeah. If I had to play that, I'd shoot myself in the foot. Of course, then again, it's a good tune to play for bits and stuff. And now we're here in 2009. Everything is high-tech. It's whiz-bang. Me and Donna do the job of about 8 different people.
Yeah.
I'm not making that up, folks.
No, I understand. They were just trying to get the software perfected about the time I left. They couldn't believe I demanded a typewriter because I could use the computer, yes, but it was about 3 blocks away from the newsroom.
Yeah.
So it had to have something a little more direct, but now I believe they've got those bugs out of there.
Have you been in a new building?
Oh, yeah.
Something else compared to what you worked in before, huh?
Oh, sure, but, they I think they built a little large because the computers have taken the place of everybody. Now you could set off a hand grenade in the center of the places and probably not hurt anybody.
Well, we used to own 8 stations, and we divested three, even before things were going wacky.
That's right.
Because people wanted to buy them. We had a religious station in here. We had an oldies Music of Your Life station in here.
It was all over, in fact, that Music of Your Life started as a, I believe, a second talk after we put the other, we decided we'd compete with ourselves. That's a...
You know what? WTMA, we at least have 2 or 3 live shows going. We have some live weekend shows. It still is important for a local talk station to reach out and touch the local people here.
Absolutely. And when an emergency happened, Hugo, we had notice. Mm-hmm. It was coming. But if, heaven forfend, a large earthquake ever hits on a weekend when most of the radio stations don't have anybody in them, who's going to tell anybody?
I wondered about that myself.
Need to have a human being around. It's
well, you heard me talking to the Kim baby, right?
Yes.
All right, you remember her too, of course.
Well,
maybe you don't.
We, maybe company parties, because I was midnight till 6 always, or 3 till 9, depending.
Yeah.
On whatever they need.
Well, I'll tell you, when I first got there, I went to the old the double wide trailer, and dude, the, you know, with the fiddler crabs.
Oh, yeah.
Went there in 2001, end of August is when they brought me in.
Oh, right. Well, by then it was being stripped. And
it was falling apart.
I remember we had some people practicing their chip shots down the long hall there. That was...
with pieces of the building.
Had to holler four when you walked in the door.
Well, I was just talking to her, and we were talking about, you know, at the time when we first went on there, I mean, we had more live people then. But now, and I was talking to her, she's now up in Florence. She has no live and local talk show people on her talk now. And so if something happens up there, who's going to get on the air?
Right.
So I'm wondering about that. So we keep it going.
I wonder about it myself. I'm one of the people that still loves AM radio. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons I've always loved it was late at night you could tune in the rest of the nation.
Yeah.
And now if you take the time... Well, a lot of those 50,000 watters have stopped paying the electric bill because they all sound exactly the same. They're running the same...
The same 5 or 6 network talk shows that say the same things, and all they do... You know what? The guy that's on our competition, the guy at the FM thing that's on in the afternoon, all you got to do is read the Drudge Report at 2:45, and you've got his whole show.
Sure, or, if you, I imagine a lot of the talking point things are delivered online now. If you knew what websites everyone could recite it along with them, that's why I was always proud when we did have a large news staff. I could go home and listen to 3 other stations on the way home, and they'd be parroting the Associated Press ticker. It all 3 of them, 3 different voices reading exactly the same words.
Yeah, that was just, it got to you after a while, let me tell you, man.
But considering, compared to now, though, that was the golden age of radio.
I don't know what it is. I think it's going to go through a swing and it'll come back again,
well,
man, I got to tell you.
To do news and talk,
it's expensive.
And to do it really top of the line, it costs a lot of money.
Yep.
I mean, you got to have human beings on the shoe leather. I mean, computers make those human beings more productive. But you still got to have a human being. The computer doesn't start itself.
Yeah, well, we got that going. Well, and then Donna and I do the job of about 8 or 10 people.
Oh, yeah, I've been listening.
We do everything all ourselves. In fact, right now, while I'm talking to you, I'm doing what the young kids at the college would call frazzing. Except I'm now, according to the kid that was in here one time,
Are you allowed to do that on the air?
it's different than it used to be. What it is that frazzing is operating more than 2 communication implements at once, kind of like watching TV, talking on the phone, and surfing on the net, which people, that's a common one that people do.
Mm.
Okay? And I'm like Uber frazzer because I've got 9 going at once, including talking to Donna.
Well,
through hand signals.
Great for people with attention deficit disorder. They'd never get bored.
Of course, Donna's only got 2 hand signals for me. One looks like this, the other one looks like that.
Yeah.
So anyway, we have a good time here every day. That's the whole idea. We still try to keep it fun, you know.
Are you having fun? That's
man.
That's the key, and I'm glad to hear it. 70 years, I was glad to be there for, now I'm doing the math, I was there for better than 1/7, and you have done the same thing, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well,
8 years you've been here. So
Yeah, yeah. 8 years, going to be nine. Yeah, I'm going to be hanging around. That's because if you go somewhere else, let me tell you something. It's like I came here from Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
And the larger things are, the more control they try to exert on you. Oh, don't you dare talk about, like, recent things. Like, don't you dare talk about Barack Obama's birth certificate. Oh, no! Don't you dare talk about how the IRS is a fraud. Oh, no!
Actually, I think you're setting up straw men there, but
exactly. You know, the thing is that it's like, oh no, we can't. Everybody's afraid of controversy these days, and I've discovered it's really weird that all you got to do is tell the
what. For years, I did commentary there at TMA. I won a number of awards, not patting myself on the back, but it is history, and a lot of people have forgotten. I did a war along with the news. I wrote a 2-minute commentary every day for 9 or of the years that I was there.
Well, now I'm doing a 3-hour commentary every day.
Exactly. And I did a talk show for a while, and you know, so it was kind of piling up.
Yeah.
But the boss called me in one morning.
Well, we only got a minute. Go.
Okay. He told me to be a certain type of hole on the air. Got that?
Yeah.
So he wanted me to go on and make people mad.
Yeah. Not hard.
Well, we didn't have any liberal listeners.
We do.
No, we didn't. You know, I wasn't going to make people mad by repeating what everyone else.
We got 30 seconds. Go.
I made people mad by using occasional liberal arguments.
Oh, did you?
Yeah,
but you know what?
Well.
Here's what I do, Larry. All I do is get on the air, and I tell it exactly the way it is.
Yeah.
I tell the truth and dare people to back up any kind of argument against it, and that becomes controversy. Hey, Waring, hang on a second. We're up against time. We're going to play the Confederate Heritage Trust question of the day. That makes people mad, too.